Put your hands together for Pastor Ryan. It's great to see you today. Lord's good to each and every one of us, isn't he? And he's got something great for all of us on a regular basis, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm sporting my pink t-shirt today in recognition of October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we will be remembering those who have gone through that and have some things throughout the month to point us in remembering that. Talk about that a little bit later, how that had visited our own family. I've had a good friend, a man that had passed away from that, and I was out in my yard the other day, and one of our neighbors around the corner, he's a retired gentleman. He rides a little golf cart, takes his dog for a walk, and I always go out to say hi to him. And he said, yeah, I just got home from radiation. I go, hey, Jim, I didn't know you were going through that. He goes, yeah, I have breast cancer. And so breast cancer isn't just something that women deal with. It's something that men deal with as well. But we want to help and bring an awareness to it. And so not to be afraid of it, but to deal with it and to face it head on. Amen. I want to say thank you to Pastor Ryan for last Sunday, Sue Gagne this past Thursday. They both just did an amazing job. And again, to reiterate the small groups, these are the lifeblood of the church. I had a conversation with someone a few weeks back, and they were a little upset that I didn't know everyone on a personal level and everyone's background in the church. I said, I'm so sorry for that you feel that way. He said, well, you should, indicate that I should be a better pastor, which is true. I should be a better pastor. But I said, what we do have are small groups and great small group leaders that know everybody in the group. And that's how the church needs to function. The Bible says, I think of the father-in-law's name. Jethro told his son-in-law. Some Bible scholar help me right now. My mind just went blank. He said, Moses, thank you. He said that the thing that you're doing is not good. In other words, he said, you're trying to do all of this, what God has raised up people in your midst to do with you. And I'm so grateful for our small group leaders. They are, every one of them, are amazing. They're doing amazing things. And we're going to have more. And invite even people that don't come to the church. I go to the Wednesday night. Sometimes I go to a few of them. There's people that are in those groups that City Church is not their church. That's okay. Let's form these relationships. We are the body of Christ, whether people are here or somewhere else. Let's do that. Let's be that with each and every one. And let's just learn to appreciate and love one another in a powerful way. Thankful for the coffee and the snacks in the back. How many of you just, when you walk in, you see that, smell that? That's just a blessing. Oh, Lord, I thank you today for your love and your grace upon our lives. I pray that this morning that you will minister love, hope, peace, great faith into every heart. I pray and I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I'm just so thankful to be able to share God's word with you this morning and do that. When Patty and I were praying this morning, it is my birthday this month, and I just told the Lord while we were praying, Lord, thank you for another year. Thank you for another moment in time, another season that we can stand and do the work that you have called us to do. And I'm just so grateful for that. I just want you to know I don't do as much as I did, and I'm so grateful for that because we have incredible people that really carry the work of the kingdom in this house in a phenomenal way. And I'm just so grateful for it. When Sam got up to say, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, listen, I want you to appreciate Pastor Ryan, Pastor Aaron in an incredible way this year. You've been so kind to me, so many people over the years. I'm grateful. I want you to show some incredible appreciation. Go up to them. Tell them thank you. Bless them. Without them in this season, I just don't know how we would be able to do everything that we're doing. We do a lot, and I'm thankful for everything that we do on a regular basis. Amen? I want to just share this with you today. I want to encourage you, and I want to remind you and I of some things that we already know. And I'm so mindful for many that life sometimes throws some challenges to us, and it's difficult sometimes. It's hard to get through that and forget God's grace and that He has something great for our lives. I read this scripture, and it so spoke to my heart. It's in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" Samuel, he felt devastated over God's rejection of Saul. Saul had did wrong. He turned his back on the plan and the purposes of God, and he died on the battlefield. And Samuel was troubled over this, and God says to him, "Samuel, how long are you going to stay in this state of mourning? How long are you going to allow what has taken place in your life to keep you held in a place of sorrow, of mourning, of pain, of agony?" This is what he said. He said, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way." I love that, because today, in the next just a few minutes that we'll be together, I want to fill and help you fill your horn with oil today so that you can be on your way to God's plan and purpose for your life, to the peace and to the destiny that He has created and called you to be, to the place that you have not even experienced or seen yet. God wants you and I to come away from a place of mourning, come away from a place of failure, come away from a place of distress, come away from a place of feeling broken, fill our horn with oil, and be on our way to the place that God has called you and I to. Because life will bring some things to you and I that will crush us, and it will hold us in a place of brokenness if we allow it to. And the journey that you or I are on is never without times of pain and stress and challenges. We think that life is just, you know, always good and everything is just going to be perfect, and it's not. The writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "There's a season for everything." There's a season that we are in now. A season that is changing, and seasons come and they go. He says in verse 4, "There's a time to weep, and then there is a time to laugh." He said, "There's a time to mourn, but then there's a time get up and dance." You know what I've learned? I have learned, and Patty and I have done this, in the moments of heartache, of difficulty, of challenge, sometimes God says, when you are believing Him and you have faith in Him, that He is going to bring about something greater and better for you. Sometimes you got to turn the worship music on. You got to just begin to dance in your... Patty and I have... Man, we've had ballroom dances in our kitchen before. Right in the middle of the tears running down our face. We are not going to allow that moment in our lives to define who we are now or who we will become. But we will allow the power, the presence, the perfected work of Jesus to define who we are and who we will be. Come on, somebody ought to say a better amen to that. And I love that song that we sang today. Our greatest days are still ahead. And I love the verse where it says, "He's just getting started." Because for some of you, you don't even know what He has for you yet. And you're so attached to what you don't have, what you have lost, what has hurt you, what has been broken in your life, that if He brought it to you right now, maybe you wouldn't even accept it. Maybe you even wouldn't even want it. But God has great for you. He's just getting started. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, he says, "The light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. I always, when I've read this verse hundreds and hundreds of times, when he describes our challenges as light and momentary, I'm like, when I read that first time in my life, I said, what you talking about, light? This is heavy, this is hard, and they are. But he says, in perspective of the eternal glory that you and I will experience, they're light and they're momentary. They're small, and God has something. And he says in verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what we see, not on what is broken, not on what we have lost, not on our hurt, on our pain. He says we don't fix our eyes on what we see, but what we can't see, the unseen. Since what we see is just temporal, but what is unseen, this, he says, it describes as is as eternal. And you and I, when we sometimes we have to close our eyes. It's great when we worship and we're singing these songs filled with faith. And maybe you aren't there yet, but sometimes in the middle of worship, that's why worship is so important. Don't you dare come in after worship is over with. And then you struggle all your week and say, well, that was okay. Worship will open the doorway and the pathway to God's healing and revelation and restoration into your life. You stand there with your eyes closed singing, the greatest days are yet ahead. When you're crying and when you're hurting and when you're disconnected from everything and everybody, he is just getting started in my life. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to just talk to you a minute today just about strengthening your faith. And I'm only going to be just a moment, just a few minutes with you. I just really want you to listen, because what would happen if you and I, we begin to think by faith and speak by faith and ask in faith? The Bible says four different times in the Bible that the just shall live by faith. In Romans 12:3, it says that every man has been given a measure of faith. Every one of you, that when you give your life to Christ and you are born again, he deposits in your life a measure of faith. One doesn't have more than the other. Every one of us has a measure. We have that gift. And what we do with our faith is what matters, whether we grow it and nurture it or we just let it go by the wayside. Because faith is what causes us to go beyond our limitations, beyond what we can see in our natural person, into a place that we have never seen before. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We can't see what God is going to do yet, but faith isn't seeing it. Faith is believing it when I can't see it. Faith is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Faith is not some religious exercise. It's more than just a fantasy. Faith is not having a cold and your eyes running and, you know, your nose all jacked up and somebody say, man, how are you feeling? And you saying, oh, I'm great, I'm fine. That's not faith. That's just denial. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, speaking about Abraham and Sarah, the Bible says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He didn't deny when God said, you're going to have a child. He didn't look at his body and say, yeah, I got a body, Sarah, like a 25-year-old. What you think? He looked at his body and he goes, whoa, I don't know about this. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. I like how the scripture is about 100 years old, because when you get that old, you can't even remember how old you really are. And then he says, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith. And he gave, here it is, glory to God. When he didn't see it, when he didn't feel like it, when he didn't have the goods to produce it, he lifted up his hands and said, God, I want to just say thank you that you're just getting started in my life, that the best is yet to come. Lord, I thank you that even though my body is dead and Sarah's not looking like she used to look, God, we are going to see your promise come to pass in our lives. And the Bible says that after they gave that, they said this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 23, the words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for you and I. What's that mean? This just isn't some story out of the Old Testament. This is now for you and I. This is now that you and I are to give glory to God when we don't see it happening. When we are in a time of difficulty, we give God praise. We thank him for what he's doing. Not for what we see, but for what we will see. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm preaching better than your amen in me right now. It's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen. That's what faith is. He says it was written not for him alone, but for all of us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. We can have faith and look at our situation and say, you know, it doesn't look good, but with God on my side, I'm going to overcome. I can look at things in my family and say, it's not what I want it to be, but I can say, I know that God is with me. And if he is with me, nothing or no one can be against me. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And this is what faith is. It looks what seems to be impossible, and it hears a promise in the Word of God that is spoken, and it just agrees with it. It just simply agrees with it. And I've seen more answers and more miracles that have happened in my life, in the lives of others, that have happened over a period of time than I've ever seen in one moment. Because sometimes we get discouraged. And I just want to insert this, that sometimes, you know, there's different styles in Christendom that people adhere to. Some say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Nazarene, I'm an Assembly of God, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Charismatic, I'm this, I'm that. And you are none of that. If you love Jesus, you are a child of the Most High God. And sometimes some of these groups of people, they say, well, you know, if we say it, we're going to see it right now, it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. Abraham and Sarah believed, but my brothers and my sisters, it took 9 months for the miracle to manifest itself. And you can't get around that. And I've seen more over time than I have in that immediate moment. And many people get discouraged in that moment because they don't see it when they want it. Yesterday, this picture popped up on my memory. This was 7 years ago, Patty had her last chemo treatment. That's the picture of it. Stand up, baby. You look so good this morning. I mean, she looks like she's a fuss. Stand up. Come on. Stand up so everybody take a little twirl. Come on, baby. I want you to know back then, we had well-meaning people come up to us and say, well, where's God now when you need him? How are you going to make it through this one? What do you mean, where's God when I need him? He's never been closer to me. He's never been nearer to us. He is here. And we didn't know what the outcome was, but every day I'd lay my hands on her. God, I thank you that this does not define the life that we have come to. I thank you, God, that you are greater than what she is going through right now. And let me tell you, when I say that, I watched my mother die. I picked my mother's casket out at 17 years old, who I watched die from cancer. And God, he saved her, but she received her healing in heaven. I watched my mother-in-law. I was in the operating room when they said, she has moments to live, and I prayed with her for her to rededicate her life to Christ. She drove herself to the hospital, and when they operated on her, she was so full of cancer, they said, well, there's nothing we can do. And I saw her right there. I was just her and I in that operating room and watch her die. I was with my father-in-law in the last moment that he reached up to heaven to reach the angels that were coming to take him home. I saw him die from colon cancer. I saw that. But I want you to know that even though I saw these things happen, there is a word that came into our heart that I'm going to stand on. I'm going to believe. And I believe that even if something was different, that when we walk into heaven, I'd rather have the testimony on my mouth and on the lips of my Savior that I believed him until the last moment of my life here on earth. Because when we go into heaven, that is our greatest reward that we could ever experience. Fill your horn today and go your way so you can live the way God has called you to live. Listen, I'm just going to close with these thoughts. Number one, faith sees things that no one else sees. We look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, these are eternal. These are what means and it makes the difference. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Faith reaches into the future and brings it into our moment of reality, into our present. I don't see it with my natural eyes, but I believe that it's going to happen because faith is substance. And when everyone around you is setting off alarms and saying how this is bad, how that's bad, how this is not going to make it, the world is coming to the end, the economy is going to tank, and that may all happen, but I'm going to tell you something. That can all take place around me, but my Bible says it will not come near my dwelling. Some of you need to open up your Bible instead of turning on the news all the time and listening to what some false news report tells you. My Bible and your Bible says in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Listen, surely, not maybe, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. I just want to stop there and just deposit a seed into somebody's life that is saying, I can't sleep at night because I'm so worried. God gives you his word today. You don't have to be afraid of the terror at night. That when you go to bed tonight, you can lay your head on the pillow and say, God, I thank you that you're my strength. You're my fortress. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. You'll only see it and see the reward of the wicked because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. Everybody say that. No evil shall come near me. No plague shall come near my dwelling. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. And then he ends it in verse 14. Because he, you, and I have set our love on Jesus, he will deliver you and I. Come on, you ought to give God. Let's just take a praise break right here. Come on. I want to hear my praisers in the house. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Not the world system and its ways. He is. Number two, faith is being sure. It's being convinced. It's substance. It's not what I can produce. It's what God can produce. It's what he has for me. He's not worried that it's not working the way I think it should. He's got it all taken care of. And I am convinced in that. Number three, faith is evidence of what I don't see. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's personal to me. This isn't something that I listen to somebody else tell me. No, it's personal to me. I live this. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Me, It's mine. It's not what somebody else said. It's what I believe. David said in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord. The word wait means to be connected to somebody. Those who wait are connected with the Lord. He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they won't faint today. Number four, faith is something that you live by, not just in a church meeting. It's who I am. I read this, I shared it last week a little bit out of Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thrown into the furnace because they chose to live their life for God. And their response was, God, you better not let us down. Their response was, well, I'm doing this for the Lord, so he better come through. No, they said, even if we go into the fire and we perish, we're still going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. You know what they said then? They said, because our God is able. Come on, everybody say that with me. Say, my God is able. Say it like you really mean it. Say, my God is able. In your life's problems, start declaring victory over it. In your family, begin to say, my God is able. In your health, begin to say, my God is able. In your life, what you're experiencing right now, in your future, in your finances, in your business, in your home, in your work, say it, my God, he is able. David said in Psalm 27, I'd fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means I would emotionally collapse unless I had faith to believe that God could and would do something greater in my life. Number five, just two more. Faith is a form of humility. If you were here Thursday, if you didn't hear it, Susie Gagne, it's on our website. It's on our Facebook page. She's an incredible communicator, and she talked about pride. And she told a really juicy story in there. That if for no other reason, you should go back and listen to it because of that. Pride says, I can do it on my own. Pride says, I can figure it out. Pride says, I got this. Faith says, I don't have anything. I've got him. Faith says, I can't see it, but I know it's coming. Because God is against us when we try to do it in our own strength. Listen to what God's word says in James 4, verse 6. And I like how this translation said it. God opposes arrogant people. Amen. But he is kind to humble people. Don't you want God to be kind to you? I mean, what a statement that is. 1 Peter 5, 6, God gives special blessings to those who are humble. Woo! You ever seen somebody that just lives a life of humility and you just watch them? They don't say anything, but you see God just dropping these things into all these blessings. And it's just supernatural goodness that's coming into life. Some people get jealous over it. Some people can't handle it. That's why Paul says in another verse of Scripture, rejoice with those that rejoice. You know, the pathway to your blessing and mine is not to be critical of other people, but it's to rejoice when they are humble and God sows great things into their lives. For some of you, you're walking in a place of such beautiful humility and you're kind, and the kindness of God, he can't stay away from you. Everything you lay your hands to, he blesses. He said, God gives special blessings to those who are humble, but he sets himself against those who are proud. My goodness. Faith says, in the middle of what I can't handle, I lift my hands to an incredible and a gracious God, and I worship him because he alone is worthy. And then my last thought this morning, faith is trusting God no matter what. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Trust him. Many times we want the guarantee from God before we will step out. Many times we don't want to go through any risk. But God said, if you're going to have faith in him, you're going to learn to encounter a risk in your life. Many people can't seem to forgive because they feel if somebody hurt them, they can't forgive them. It's like giving them a free pass. But my brothers and sisters, the reality of it is when you forgive, you get the free pass. You get the grace. You get the blessing on your life. Come on today. How many of you in the house today, you want to trust the Lord with all of your heart and live a life of faith? Come on. Can you say amen today? Close your eyes, bow your head with me today. Maybe you're here, maybe you're watching online today. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, and you need to do that. Living for God just isn't a religious experience. It's a personal experience of giving your heart and your life to him and saying, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've never done that. You need to do it right where you're at. Just say this. Say it with me. Everybody's eyes closed, head bowed, just for a moment. Just everyone say this. Say, Lord Jesus, take my life. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today. I pray your hope. I pray peace. Lord, I thank you that you have given us a measure of faith that we can live by not what we see, but what is unseen today. I pray for my brothers and sisters that what you have for them will begin to come into their existence now. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a big amen.
Would you stand with us? I love talking to Jesus. I'll be talking to Jesus. I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. She loves talking to Jesus. Mom loves talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus for the rest of her life. I'll be talking to Jesus. I'll be talking to Jesus. We'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of our lives. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ooh. What a friend we have in Jesus. You sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ooh. I love talking to Jesus. I love talking to Jesus. Is that your prayer this morning? I love talking to Jesus. Oh, all of my life. Come on, lift your voice and tell him, I love talking to Jesus. I love talking to Jesus. I love talking to Jesus. All of my life. Sing it one more time. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ooh. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ooh. Father, we thank you for everything you've done in this house this morning. God, we just We stand in your presence in this moment. And we just say that we're so excited for what you have ahead. God, that your bottom is so much deeper than we could ever dream of. That your fullness is so much fuller than we could ever imagine. That your love is so much wider than we could ever even imagine. I pray, Lord, for a glory to glory and a faith to faith kind of anointing and power and gifting over this house. If you receive that, just lift your hand to heaven. I pray for each one this morning, God, that there would be downloads from heaven. There'd be an open heaven. There'd be an open and a pouring out, Father, onto every family. And we expect it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Yeah, give the Lord a praise. Hey, it's been a great day. We'll be back again right across town, 12 noon. We love you so much. We'll see you soon. God bless you.